I could literally start immediately.
A wee mullet.
I could start immediately.
A wee mullet.
How you like that, dude?
A wee mullet.
We on, baby.
McKinley's from Ohio.
He was the last president who served in the Civil War. He didn't want war. Everybody seemed to... His whole thing was cultivating good press. He was the first guy that seemed to master that.
Yeah.
He understood it because Cleveland before him fucking hated it.
So let's get to Teddy, okay? Because he's the only guy that I... important to say about McKinley?
Yeah, I mean, he started in 1898. The Spanish Empire was falling. Cuba was open. There's Cuban rebels. Yeah. He didn't want to, but eventually got talked into it because guys like William Randolph Hearst, all the major media people were like, we got to go to war. Fuck that. So he sent the USS Maine into Cuba's port. Somehow it exploded. No one knows how. 250 guys died. Media demanded war with Spain. That's where the Remember the Maine, all that shit comes from. McKinley created the Situation Room in the White House. That was pretty tight so that they could. It's exciting stuff.
Nice work.
This is a 10-week war.
Yeah.
The U.S. fucks them up. In his thing, he annexed Puerto Rico in the Philippines, also annexed Hawaii in 1898. 1900, he wins the election, this time with his vice president, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
And we can get into Teddy, dude.
So Teddy, fascinating thing about Teddy. First of all, Teddy was born deformed.
Yeah.
His... lungs and his organs were too small for his chest cavity. And his doctor told his father, he's got to stay in bed and he'll probably die in his teens.
Yeah.
So he told Teddy, well, you weren't born with much of a body, so you'll have to make your body. And Teddy just became insane and walked up the Matterhorn, just walked up it.
Dude.
He was a ball of insane energy. He would just do anything.
Yeah, he was kind of terrifying.
He was. And he was kind of an animal.
Yeah.
But also very intuitive, very brilliant guy. Like, he was the first guy that they did, like, caricatures of. Like, he saw, because he had his crazy big teeth and his glasses. So he was the first guy that they drew, like, this funny version of him. And he liked it. He thought, that's cool because they're thinking about me. The fact that they're caricaturizing me means that I'm an icon. I'm something above a, you know, and he liked it. So he let that proliferate. But the other thing about him is that he didn't like being in charge of things. He liked being number two. So, like, they asked him to run New York City Police Department and he became a commissioner. He's like, I'll just be one of the commissioners. Yeah. He was like number two, but he ran everything from that number two position because he knew number one is like the shittiest job in any place. So he started, I don't know, I'm uneducated and I read this a long time ago, but I think he invented the police academy because New York, or at least he put one in New York City. In New York City, to be a cop, you had to be in a family of cops or you had to pay somebody because it was the easiest job in the world. You just walked around in the uniform and cops used to sleep like in alleys. And they didn't do it. They never stopped crime.
Yeah.
And they just get paid to protect one gang or the other in New York City. And so, and they were all fat and often quite old. So Teddy said, there's age restriction. You can't be old. He said, you have to be in shape. You have to go to an academy and you have to train to be a cop. You have to be taught. You have to have an education. You get taught lots of things in an academy. It's a school. And so he started that. Police department hated him. He pushed it through. He reformed the New York Police Department to the point, and this is where he was better than other politicians. He wanted to test them and show that they were honest. And the only way to do that is to have them enforce a law that everybody hates. So I think the law was that you couldn't drink on Sundays.
Sunday.
So he had the cops go around New York City and bust anybody who was drinking on a Sunday. And 100% of New Yorkers hated him for this.
Yeah.
And they ran him out of town on a rail. And he was fired. But to him, it was like, mission accomplished. Yeah. Teddy would do everything until he was despised. Like, he would go past the point because his goal was the goal. The goal is the cops are better, not everybody loves Teddy.
Yeah.
So then every time he got fired, he would just go to Montana and live in a fucking hut and kill buffalo. And then they went and people would send emissaries and say, please run in this company. He would always say no. And then they came to him and asked him to run the U.S. Navy. He did a similar thing to the United States Navy, which I know less about.
Yeah. He was obsessed with the war in 1812. I think he wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
What was how we could have won that quickly. We almost lost it because we didn't have a Navy ready. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was we need to have a huge Navy.
That's right.
Like the war, it's actually pretty sick. He gave a speech to, I think, either West Point or the Naval Academy where he was like, it was probably the Naval Academy. He was like, there's a vacuum right now. England's failing. There needs to be one leader.
Someone needs to be the
somebody in the world.
Naval power.
Yeah.
He did two things that have lasted till now. I mean, a lot of things, but two are the national park system.
Yeah.
No one even thought of that. That didn't exist. The idea of like the government should protect vast tracts of land and not allow anybody to fuck with them. No one on the earth did that. Teddy Roosevelt invented that idea. So that exists because of him. They still don't have it. In the Amazon, they don't do it. That's why it's a nightmare, because there's no laws down there that say you can't do this. Everyone just wishes they wouldn't. So Teddy did that, and he made us a naval power. Then he was vice president, which he didn't want. He was like drafted into running for vice president.
Let's talk about, this was him and the Spanish War.
Yes.
What's it called? Hill.
San Juan Hill.
Yeah.
And he went over. Yeah. He went over the hill.
He's a dickhead.
Yeah. He was nuts.
He got everybody killed.
Yes, he did. He was crazy.
So what was cool was the Rough Riders were cool. It was all Old West guys.
Yes.
Like gunslingers, buffalo hunters, Native Americans mixed with New York Irish cops.
Uh-huh.
Like just the nastiest fucking dudes.
Well, and back then you could make like a platoon.
Yeah.
Like you could tell the army, like, I'm going to make a
platoon. Yeah, he just bought a platoon.
I bought some guys. I brought some guys. We call ourselves the Rough Riders. And the army's like, okay, you're part of the army.
He was 40.
Yes.
And he had a family. He had a sick wife and a family. And they were like, what are you doing? Why the fuck would you be going to war?
Yes.
And he's like, because he wanted to go to war.
He was also a rich patriarch. Yeah. In Oyster Bay, he had this beautiful house, a big family. He was responsible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
He took over when his dad died. He became like the man of a very sprawling family.
His brother's great.
Teddy
his brother's Clark, the one I kind of was like. So in the beginning,
what was his brother's name?
I don't remember.
Was it Kermit? Was it another Kermit?
Kermit might be a
Kermit
son.
Kermit was his son.
Yeah.
He went to the Amazon later with his son, Kermit. They went on little rowboats up the Amazon River and almost died. He got malaria and Teddy weighed like 80 pounds. This is after he was president twice. This is in retirement. Like he named certain tracts of the Amazon River.
He was crazy. He was
fucking nuts. So wait. So then when he was.
Wait, his brother was a drunk who Elliot was out of control. He was the one who was supposed to be the good son.
Right.
But he got like, he just did what anybody would do if they were a Roosevelt.
Number one always fucks up. Again, that's why Teddy was the number two son.
He
was the it's like Joe Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was supposed to be Joe Kennedy, his brother.
Donald Trump. Didn't he have an older brother?
He had brother John.
Who drank himself.
Yes. That's what old brothers do.
Roosevelt.
Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy. Himself to death.
Didn't Clinton have one?
Roger Clinton was younger than him.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, a lot of these guys have older brothers who just couldn't make it.
But it's funny how his brother ended up in like a mental hospital in like Paris. According to this documentary, he was drinking like six bottles of brandy a day. He was just
not bad.
And then the way he died was like he had delirium from the alcohol, and he was trying to jump out of a window, but he kept just running up and down the steps,
And he had a heart attack.
He had like an aneurysm and a seizure.
Okay, so when Teddy was here's a great story about Teddy. Where teddy bears come from. Okay. Teddy Roosevelt was in Pennsylvania, again, your fucking state. Might have been Virginia.
Incredible state.
Not much difference. So Teddy was there and on tour as president. And there were some people, you know, every time the president comes to a town, they always like, they get so excited and they plan stuff. So they knew he loves hunting bear.
Yeah.
So when Teddy hunts bear, he's way up in a mountain alone with a gun and it's him and the bear and he might die.
Yeah.
But these people think he's like a gentleman hunter. So they take him, we're going to take you to hunt some bear, and they give him a gun and they take him into the woods, and there's a bear chained to a tree, a little bear who's kind of emaciated, and it was chained to a tree, and they go, shoot him. And Teddy breaks down into tears.
Yeah.
And he says, for the love of God, let that poor animal go. And there was some journalist there who drew a picture that was like a little sketch that was in the paper of Teddy with this and this little bear. And it was, people put that together, Teddy and bear, and started making these stuffed bears that looked like Teddy because of this.
Jesus Christ.
So that his first day as president.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's, McKinley gets shot.
Yeah.
He got shot by an anarchist named Leon Czolgosz.
Sure.
Whatever. But it was interesting. I think him or...
So now we've lost three presidents. Yeah,
three guys got shot in the 1800s. So in the last 40 years.
Yes.
And the people are like, this was a gunshot. Today he would have survived in 2 days.
Yeah.
So like Roosevelt found out about it. He was out doing some fucking hiking bullshit.
Right.
Somebody came running up the hill like, he's shot. You're the president. They get there. The guy's fine. He died from infection.
Yeah, a lot of these are bad. This is bad medicine.
Yeah. Yeah,
back then, you could cut the president on the finger to death.
Yeah.
Because of how bad medicine was and how infected wounds got. Yeah. So, okay, so McKinley's dead.
They're in Buffalo, New York. He gets sworn in.
Yeah.
Teddy's the president.
Teddy's the president of the United States. His first day at the White House, he's like walking into the White House, and he runs into Booker T. Washington, a black fella.
Hulk Hogan.
Why is it Hulk Hogan?
There's Booker T. He's a black wrestler.
Oh, okay.
He is. So he's an iconic moment.
Booker T. Washington says, hey, I have some issues I want to talk about. And Teddy says, come to dinner. Just come to the house tonight. Come to dinner. First night in the White House, he hosts a black man. Never happened in the history of the country, a black man being a guest for dinner at the White House. The whole country goes nuts. It's the first event of Teddy's presidency is that the Senate, and I could be having some of these things wrong, but the Senate unanimously censured the president for having, there was nobody in the mix. It like, if it was happened today and even like fucking AOC was like, oh no, you don't have him in the White House. Everyone like all the way across the board said, that's not okay. And they censured him. They tried to throw him out. They're like, maybe we should impeach him. But the best thing they could do is censure him for having had a black man as a guest in the White House. So this was what Teddy did. This is the kind of guy he was. He had him to dinner constantly. And he went on a speaking tour with him. He made him, like, he elevated him more and more. Because he was just like, you know, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Oh, there's one more I wanted to say about the Spanish Civil War that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
When they took that hill, he was on his horse. Everybody else was like, so they took one hill and then he saw San Juan Hill or whatever it's called. And he was like, we're going to take that. He went off by himself.
Right.
Five guys followed him. Three of them got shot.
Yeah. Cause he went all of a sudden. Yeah. He was like, we're doing this. Yeah, and he didn't order anything.
He just went
a hail of gunfire.
So then he came back and one of the guys was laying down and he was like, how are you going to lay down when I'm up on this horse? Get up. And as soon as the guy stood up, he got shot in the head, killed instantly. That he led the charge and they were all, you know, a lot of them died.
But some of them could have been president.
He did it purely out of like, I wanted to be in war, which is really a terrible, terrible thing.
Terrible.
Terrible leader.
For that. Yeah. I mean, it's.
But he won.
He won. It worked out.
It did work out.
And then when he was, another great story about him that I heard was that, he would fight whoever was the heavyweight champ.
Oh, yeah.
He would bare knuckle.
Yeah.
So, like, Jack Johnson, I think, had just won the championship, so he was invited. He doesn't know this was going to happen. He's invited to the White House. So, I don't know if they had an Oval Office yet.
Yeah.
Comes into the Oval Office.
I believe they did.
And Teddy was like, oh, terrific. And he fucking starts. And Jack Johnson's like, what are you doing? He's like, come on now. Because to him, it was like it made sense that the president should fight with the heavyweight champion.
Dude.
And he fought him. And Johnson blinded him in one eye. And Teddy begged him, please don't tell anybody. Because I'll get it. Because Teddy, he's not supposed to do this. So he used to get people to leave the room. And then he fought him and he was always blind in that eye, which he was always in denial about because he was sort of ashamed that he did this thing.
Yeah, this guy's insane.
He was nuts. Again, to me, I'm approaching these guys as characters. Yeah. As fascinating individuals.
But he did a ton of great shit. And then he started going after all these trusts. He started breaking up all these monopolies. He started. Right. So he's the first president from this fucking lull of just garbage presidents to start to actually like reform shit.
That's right.
And start to really.
Well, that's what he became a like progressive. When he was governor of New York, he was doing something that was like huge. And one of his aides said, if you pull this off, you could run for president. And Teddy snapped at him and said, don't ever in your life say something like that to me. He said, if I add my own career and potential to the math of my decisions, then it'll destroy everything. He said, we never think about my career. And he really did live that way.
Yeah. He personally wanted to be, though. That's funny. Like, he wrote to his lady, because he was in D.C.
Yeah.
Maybe before he was the vice president. Mm. He was in New York. That's when he became the vice president. He was in New York, and that guy that he was in his political party, I forget the guy's name, was like, send him to D.C. I don't want him in New York anymore.
Yeah.
He's a fucking nightmare.
No, he was He's fighting everybody. Comfortable place he could possibly be, but president of the United States.
But he was like, every time I walk past the White House, like, I could be there someday.
Yes.
Like, he had that in there, but
The greatest piece of film on Teddy is that he was the first president to fly in an airplane. And there's film of it. He went in with a hot rod guy who was like a barnstormer guy.
Yeah.
And it's just a biplane. And they show him, you know, it's shitty black and white footage, but he gets in the plane and it corkscrews and does. He was already retired. He was kind of older. And you see him get out of it and you see him go like, whoa, that was crazy. But that's how much of a badass he was.
Youngest president also.
Youngest one.
42 or 43, yeah.
Yes. Won two terms.
And then elected.
And then left. Then he decided not to run the third time because of he didn't like Republican politics. And then he ran for a third term after skipping a term.
And he split the vote.
On what was it called? The party? Bull Moose or something like that?
Oh, yeah. We're skipping the party. Gets shot.
Yes, he got shot point blank in the chest. And he had a big, thick thing of his speech.
Yeah.
And he had something else metal. I forget what was that. Something like that. It wasn't a flask, I don't think. But he had some shit in his pocket.
The bullet got lodged into his chest, though.
Right. It went into his chest. It didn't get into his
It didn't
heart.
Break his muscle.
No.
It stuck there. And then he apparently cleared his throat.
Finished the speech.
And he finished. He said, it's going to take a lot more to kill a bull moose.
That's what he said.
Which is pretty fucking wild. Getting shot in the middle of a speech. Clearing your throat.
It's a great moment.
Then he personally elected the next guy, which I'm forgetting. Taft? Could have been Taft. And then Taft is okay. But
extremely fat guy. Didn't he die in a bathtub?
Yeah. No, he got stuck
Something
in the
about
bathtub.
Him in a tub.
Didn't he get stuck? He got stuck and had to get buttered out of the tub.
Yeah.
And that takes us to Wilson. Because then Taft ran against Wilson. Roosevelt decides he wants to come back.
And Wilson was governor of New Jersey or something?
I don't know. This is where I stopped.
Wilson is... I don't know much about him, except for me, like some of the sources for what I know about these guys come from different places.
The Old Testament. Back when every episode was pure gold with Shane Gillis, our big kahuna, and Matt McCusker bringing the heat every time. Every episode was a non-stop laugh fest, the kind that kept you hooked and coming back for more. Shane and Matt were on fire, and so were we. But now, it's a different story. What used to be a comedy powerhouse is now just another cash grab. Half the time, Shane's not even there. Instead, we get Matt's unfunny fart friends, guests, and Lamar, the stoner producer who can't get anything right. The spark is gone, replaced by mediocrity and degeneracy.
I'm very, very well connected. You are officially blacklisted. You're smashing my wife again. Show some respect.
Lamorp's a mess. A stoner who shouldn't be anywhere near a mic. And Matt's so-called friends, they make watching paint dry look exciting. It's like the world stopped turning. The red-hot energy faded to a rusty haze, leaving us with a shell of what MSSB used to be. But fear not. We're here to keep the spirit of the Old Testament alive. We're all about those legendary moments, the laughs, and the killer chemistry that made MSSB great. Will the pod ever return to its roots, its origin, its fan base? I do not know, nor do I dare to hope. But wherever there is darkness, there will be the light to meet it. Welcome to the channel where the Old Testament lives on. Relive the magic, the man, the genius of Shane Gillis and Matt McCusker. Enjoy, my brothers, enjoy.